All have things that we feel we're good at. We believe we can probably do better some things than anyone else. And today we have a situation with Paul and the church at Corinth. The passage is part of 2 Corinthians, but yet the tract taken actually begins in chapter 10, and it may be a part of an even separate letter than the first part of 2 Corinthians. It seems that there are some traveling salesmen, some traveling evangelists coming through Corinth, and they're starting to lead people astray on doctrines that are different than what Paul has been teaching. And so Paul is concerned. He's even concerned, if you listen to his tone, if you go back to chapter 10 and read from the beginning of chapter 10 through the end of chapter 13, it seems like he's taking offense to what they're saying about Paul. He's a wee bit upset. He's hearing of people falling for false prophets. He's hearing of people calling him names. And Paul is reaching out to defend his honor. To this end, he boasts, he brags, not of his strengths, but of his struggles. See, Paul was a man in great pain. And in this pain, he was physically made weak. But we can see by his words, his indignance, that Christ is working with Paul's pain to reach a greater goal. I want to give you an example of something like this. The late Jack Benny, the entertainer, y'all know who he is, right? Well, he accepted an award, and in his acceptance speech, he made the comment, he said, "I really don't deserve this, but I have arthritis, and I don't deserve that either." I'm glad you laughed. And in my opinion, a more humorous example, here's some actual comments taken from comment cards at Bridger Wildlife Area. Anybody ever heard of that? It's in Wyoming, in the Grand Tetons, mountains and vistas, overlooking lakes and streams and paths and trails and just a ton of things to do. Never been there, but I've seen pictures. I researched this before I put this in here so I would know that all this. But anyhow, here are some of the comments. And I think you'll get a laugh out of some of these. "Trails need to be wider so that people can walk while holding hands. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to get rid of these pests. Please pave the trails so that they can be snowplowed in the winter. Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike to them. The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these animals." This one's good. "A small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there any way I can get reimbursed? Reflectors need to be placed on trees every 50 feet so people can hike at night with flashlights." That's not a bad idea. "Escalators would help on the steep uphill sections. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. The places where the places where trails do not exist are not well marked. And finally, too many rocks in the mountains." They wouldn't be the mountains without rocks, now would they? All of us, every person here, every person out there, we all experience pain in some way, shape, or form in our life. Pain is a reality. The lessons of this life are most often taught in the classroom of suffering. Whether the pain is emotional or physical, it is often on the other side of the suffering where we actually realize the lessons that have been taught. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is that pain happens. Pain happens. As I stated earlier, we all live with and even live in pain. And I exercise, pardon the expression, religiously. Every day that goes by, I begin to ask the question more emphatically when that alarm clock goes off, why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because no matter what that suffering occurs, whenever I get up and do what I have to do, at the end of the day, I'm always better for it. The same thing occurs in our life. The same thing occurred in Paul's life. Paul was a man of suffering. In verse 7, Paul says, "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated." Why is this? Wouldn't it be better if the people that were out there carrying the gospel didn't have to deal with pain and suffering? Obviously not, because I just about guarantee you that to a man and woman that are out there carrying the gospel, just like us in here, every one of them is dealing with some sort of pain and suffering in their lives. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 16 through 30, Paul describes what he has been through personally to spread the gospel. "I repeat, let no one think that I am a fool, but if you do, then accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying in regard to this boastful confidence, I am saying not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to human standards, I will also boast. For you gladly put up with fools, being wise yourselves. For you put up with it when someone makes slaves of you, or preys upon you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or gives you a slap in the face. To my shame, I must say that we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am talking like a madman. I am a better one, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings, and often near death. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a day and a night I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger from the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." You see, try as he might, the pain did not leave him, but rather than allow that to be a distraction, he used it to push himself forward. How many of us daily live with physical pain, emotional pain? All of us at some time have experienced the pain of loss. All of us have at some point had cuts, scrapes, abrasions, bruises. How difficult is it to struggle through these episodes? Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes it's more difficult. Jesus knew pain. Jesus, of course, knew pain. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He had lost his friend. He wept over an unrepentant Jerusalem, a country, a people that he had come to save that rejected him. He endured the physical pain of the cross, the personal pain of betrayal. He had seen rejection and disappointment, as I'm surely you all have. It's as obvious as the nose on our face or the fingers on our hands. And here's the question for you to ponder today. What will you do to find the plus side of your struggles? Paul used his struggles to push forward, and perhaps you are already doing the same. You see, the second thing I want to cover is pain not only happens, but pain has a purpose. And this is a tough one to talk about. I want you to be absolutely clear in what I tell you this morning. The purpose of pain is not punishment. God is not up there saying, "You did bad today. I'm going to punish you. Here, have this swollen ankle." That's my job, right? Yeah. No. Anyhow, we get this so often we get this wrong. We somehow think that the maladies that we suffer through are something issued by God. But God does not, in my opinion, seek out to torture his children. And unless I miss the mark wildly, I honestly believe that God suffers right along with us in our suffering. So what is the purpose? Maybe the answer to that question is more about what we discover about ourselves as we struggle through the suffering. Think about the potter as he makes a clay pot. What does he do to that clay pot? To make it hard, to make it last, he puts it in an oven and he fires it for a great length of time. And that makes it hard and more durable. Think about a piece of coal. A piece of coal starts out as organic matter that's compressed and pressed and pressed and pressed over years and years and years until it becomes hard, carbon. Think about Job. The book of Job in the Old Testament bears this out through Job's experience. God's response to Job is to stand up, be counted. In over two chapters, he challenges Job to understand first that Job is not God. We are not God. Job is not God. God is God. The second thing he wants Job to understand in all that he did is that God is with him. He thought about him at the time of creation, and he thinks about him today. He thought about you and me at the time that he created everything, and he's still thinking about us today. After Job's encounter with God, he is restored to a level even greater than before his maladies that he went through, the suffering that he went through. What about Paul? Paul's suffering has a purpose as well. It reminds him not to be conceited over his life and over his ministry. A truly miraculous thing happened to Paul. Not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. Jesus showed himself to Paul. Paul saw Jesus. Jesus was already in the grave and ascended into heaven. But Paul saw Jesus the first time on the road to Damascus. This was the third time in what Jesus spoke to him today. The second time was telling him to go to the Gentiles, and then there was a fourth time. He's in very select company. That didn't happen to just everyone. It happened twice to Peter, once to Stephen. Those are the only accounts written in Acts about that. Paul's in pretty good company, but yet Jesus was with him to let him know that my grace is sufficient. Think about the things that Paul went through. Think about how people's lives were changed through his struggle. I want to recall two stories for you today very briefly. Paul was beaten and imprisoned with Silas at Philippi. But they didn't stay there. You remember the earthquake happened in the middle of the night? And he witnessed to the jailer. And he remained there in the prison. Do you not think that story didn't get around? Think about it. If he had not been beaten and thrown into prison, there wouldn't have been a story to tell. And what about his time in Ephesus? For over 2 years, he spent time in Ephesus. He witnessed to people until all of the province of Asia, it is written, all the people of Asia, province of Asia, had heard about Jesus. But suddenly, in as little time as it takes one person to start spreading a rumor, a riot broke out because all of a sudden the establishment of Artemis was being threatened, and Paul had to leave that place in the middle of the night. But think about all the people that in that ruckus that occurred that heard about Jesus. So there is two sides to the suffering coin. Though Paul never got to preach to the crowd as he wanted to, thousands did hear about the gospel that day. In a single day, more heard about it than probably over the previous 2 years. But at the moment, Paul only knew the pain of having to leave his home and his ministry in a hurry. Think about our nation's most heroic moments. And I'm going to recall two. There are more than two, but these are two that stick out to me. World War II. Think about how this country united together to fight in World War II. The sacrifices that were given as people left their families to go overseas to fight, many of them never to come home. And then think about September 11th, 2001. 9/11, as it's called. Think about how this country united together. Sometimes it takes pain and suffering to bring about a unification of a people. So pain has a purpose. But I don't want to leave you there. The last thing I want to tell you is that pain has power. There's power in pain and suffering. In our text today, Paul receives a message from Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul is strengthened by this message and the messenger. And Paul repeatedly asks for relief from this thorn in his side. Repeatedly, three times, he asks for this thorn to be removed from him. And I think three is more a symbolic number. Me personally, I think it was probably over and over. Would you want to live without pain? I think if I was in pain, I'd say, Lord, take this from me every day that it was there. But anyhow, three times he asks, and it never was removed. Jesus, according to the record in Acts as written by Luke, only showed himself to Paul four times. The first time calling him to repentance, the second time sending him to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And this experience is the third, and the last was recorded in Acts in chapter 22, verse 17, when he's told to leave Jerusalem. Even though Jesus didn't always physically show himself to Paul, even though Jesus doesn't always physically show himself to us, Jesus is there in our suffering. You know how I know this? Because he suffered first for us. It's a fair assumption that Jesus didn't show up in person for all of Paul's pain. According to Luke, Peter had two personal encounters. Stephen had the one personal encounter. Paul had the four such encounters. And think about all the physical violence and pain inflicted on those early missionaries. They weren't accepted. They weren't just allowed to be. They were often beaten, imprisoned, and persecuted for the message that they brought, but yet they kept on. The only times that it was recorded that Jesus showed himself are those seven times that I talked about. But that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't there. Jesus is there. We should know that through faith, Jesus is there in our suffering. He suffered and died for us. Paul's lesson from the pain he was embracing was his weakness. Christ's strength prevails and trumps all else. In his weakness, that's when Christ is strong. And Paul even uses this as his bragging rights in what we are reading today. God will likewise use our experience just as he used the experiences of all those before us to show his strength. There is something about pain that draws us out of ourselves to respond to someone in need. I want you to think for a second about a movie. Anybody in here not seen Rocky, one of the Rockies? Good, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Rocky is all but out cold in all of the fights he was ever been in. You remember those? In the first one, he fought back and should have won, but he didn't win. In the second one, though, he prevailed. In the third one, he faced tons of trouble, but yet fought back and prevailed. In the fourth one, the same. There's a 5, 6, and 7 now. Did y'all know that? I quit at 4. No, I may have watched the fifth one, but anyhow. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, 4 times that I saw, he had to fight back to overcome the odds. He was down, he was beaten, he was bloodied, he was bruised. But all of a sudden, he mustered something down within him to come out fighting. And that's what Paul's doing. This is what Paul's conveying to the church in Corinth. It's through my hurt, I muster the strength to come to you. I may not always do things the way you see that they should be done, the way that somebody comes through and tells you how it should be done, but this is the way God told me to do it. And I'm not going to brag to you about the fact that I saw Jesus in a bright light and was blinded for 3 days, and I did this and I did that, and I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that in my weakness, Christ is strong. And in your weakness, Christ is strong. Christ will be there for you. The power of our suffering comes through our sharing of the struggle. Pain happens. Pain has a purpose, but pain has power. In closing, I want you to think about the life of an oyster. An oyster, I don't know how it happens, but somehow he winds up between two pieces of shell, and he just kind of sits at the bottom and takes in all the stuff that's around him. He's kind of God's cleaning mechanism for the oceans, right? He takes in all the filth that's at the bottom. And in taking in all the filth, occasionally what happens is a piece of sand, something as small as a grain of sand, gets into his system, and it comes between him and his shell, and it irritates the oyster. And so what does the oyster do? The oyster starts creating shell around that piece of sand, but the irritation never goes away. It never goes away. So he's constantly, for the life of that oyster, secreting this thing around this grain of sand, until one day that oyster is plucked from the ocean. And if you like Apalachicola oysters, it's plucked for the eating. And if it's in a different place in the world, it's plucked for exactly what I'm talking about today. It's plucked for the pearl. You open up that oyster, and where that grain of sand was is this lining of shell around this grain of sand that looks like a pearl. Anybody got pearls on? It's a beautiful thing, a pure pearl. And they can fetch a lot of money. And I've seen them, some of them be pretty big. Something that was an irritation that caused pain made something so wonderful and beautiful. And it's likely no accident that the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem, described in Revelation, are made of pearl. The suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus allows those gates to be there in the first place. Without Jesus, we would have no way to enter the gates of heaven. But because of his suffering and the pearls that sit on that gate that represent that suffering, and all those that enter the gate will very likely have known personal suffering. But know this, Jesus is with you through your suffering. It may not be obvious, but Jesus is there. Jesus walks you through it, walks with you. And as the footprints poem goes, occasionally two pairs of footprints become one. And it's not because Jesus left you. It's because Jesus carried you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for what you have to teach each and every one of us. It'll be different for each and every person. And Father, as we go through this day, as we go through our lives, may we know that you are always there, guiding and directing us in our suffering, with us, always. In Jesus' name, amen.